signal over the internet, but is broadcast quality and capable of being delivered over the FM band for those local radio activists who are interested in going live.
You're listening to Critical Mass Radio Network.
An incredibly exciting, decentralized, international radio network that's composed of independent community radio stations, one would hope over time all over the world, currently all over the United States. Critical Mass Radio Network netcast / broadcast, which will take place this Friday, August 27th.
This is a Critical Mass Radio Network.
CriticalMassRadio.net.
My fellow Americans.
American woman, mama, let me be. Don't come hanging around my door. I don't want to see your face no more. I got more important things to do than spend my time growing old with you. Now, woman, I said stay away. American woman, listen what I say.
Hello.
Check. Postmodern music for postmodern politics.
All right, welcome to Kill Radio, Los Angeles. We're live here on the Critical Mass Radio Network, and we had a little technical glitch with that transition, but today so
we're
far
here now.
Things are going really good on the broadcast. I was listening, driving down here, listening on 104.7, listening to San Francisco talk about all the activities going on up there, and for the Bay Area Anarchist Book Fair and all the events. So that was pretty cool. Kind of wish I was up there this weekend.
Isn't there something similar happening down in San Diego? Isn't there a book fair there too?
Not that I know of.
No, it's
of,
the only the one in San Francisco.
Yeah. So we're joined here in the studio. Mr. Boy Howdy.
Joined in the studio. Conjoined.
We're conjoined
in the studio.
And here we are again.
This is my first Critical Mass Radio Network broadcast.
That's right. This is the first time we've seen it.
I've seen it when it first started, and then I had to go run off and be an office dork. And tonight I'm not an office dork.
Chris and I have more or less been here from the beginning.
So
the old white men.
We have a problem with this.
We are having a problem.
In fact, Kat from August Sound Coalition in New York City was complaining because she seems to be the only woman who's regularly on the broadcast, and we need to.
Well, let's be fair. I mean, we've had a lot of women involved.
True.
It's true.
True.
Yeah. There were three last time.
Yeah, that's true. We've done a pretty decent job,
but none on January, none in December.
I don't remember. So today's theme is the anniversary of the war and the
woo-hoo, war. Yeah. Oh wait, no, wrong party.
And anniversary of the protests as well. So maybe we should talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in is how what the war started to be, the reasons behind it have changed over the last 2 years, much to the polarization of this country. I mean, at the time that we went into Iraq, it was obvious that this was something that Mr. Bush wanted all along, and he looked for any kind of justification for going there that he could. But once those darn WMDs couldn't be found, he changed the justification, and he acted, oh, well, I was just using the information that I got, as though he hadn't planned it all along. And now that's the way it's being talked about in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
You know, that, well, he just got this information that they might be a danger to us. When, you know, it was obvious that that's what he wanted from September 11th on. Before September 11th, he wanted to invade Iraq. Bill Clinton said that in his last speech with Bush on the day of the inauguration, that he warned, according to Clinton, who has his own agenda, that he warned Bush that he needs to pay attention to Osama bin Laden, and all Bush was talking about was Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, as far as the media goes, I'm not sure that, you know, on the one hand, one wants to be shocked, and one wants to be appalled, and one wants to think, you know, that the media could do better. But, you know, I've got to think, like, I'm not really surprised. I'm not surprised that the media is behaving this way. And it's not because I'm just saying, well, the media are part of some corporate cabal to, you know, take over, you know, oil in the Middle East, which is not to say that they aren't or that that's not possible. But I think more simply, they, like so many other businesses, are in a mode of slashing and burning their staff and their resources for collecting news, and in order to get information and to get sound bites out onto the air to make it look like they're presenting news in between the commercials, they have to play along with the administration's game. They are not going to buck this administration.
They are no doubt stenographers to power, and they, you know, they're not going to challenge anything. Or I should say, present anything that will challenge their bottom line, and that's pretty clear.
Yeah. And I think one thing they're learning is that any journalist who does do that quickly gets pushed to the periphery at best during news conferences and the like. I mean, now Bush is like literally showing up to news conferences with his list of, these are the reporters I'm going to take questions from.
Yes. Yeah.
And so anybody who's not playing his game doesn't get the news, doesn't get news, quote unquote, to report.
Before we continue, I'd just like to invite listeners and people who might be listening anywhere, actually, to call into Kill Radio and give us some feedback and maybe talk about what's going on in the streets in LA or anywhere else for that matter. The phone number here is 213-252-0998. That's 213-252-0998, and also you can instant messenger us at Kill Radio Station and give us your feedback. One thing I'd like to say is maybe turning in a little bit on the anti-war demonstrations. I don't know how you guys feel, but these massive marches have become a sort of I get really I'm trying to use my words carefully, but I think they're ineffective, and I think that they really make people feel better about themselves without really talking about any long-term strategic way to deal with the war. They are organized by these very top-down organizations like the Answer Coalition and the workers who are affiliated with the Workers' War Party. This whole sort of mode of organizing, which is numbers, a numbers game.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, people go to these things, and they, you know, and I have no problem showing a sort of show of force and getting a lot of people out on the street, but every single time it just becomes more depressing and more of like a kind of a cattle walk, you know, and I don't feel like good at all about going to these things.
If the accomplishment that is desired is that it has an effect, it's failing. It's not working. If what they're trying to accomplish is to show that there is a united front opposed to it, it does that in the sense of numbers. But you're correct. It doesn't. It's not having an effect because it's not being listened to, and partially that's because of the free speech zones, certain things that the administration's doing to ignore.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an organizational tactic too. It's like one of the things that's sparked up since the war started in Los Angeles that I have never seen before. But then again, I've only been here for the last 5 years, and I wasn't here in the '90s. but even during the 80s, I didn't see this. But the neighborhood organizing councils, like this sort of block by block, get together with your neighbors and stand on a corner and just come out and talk to people. That kind of thing is pretty amazing. And I think those are very effective because you're talking to people in your local area. You know your neighbors. You know the people around you. You can have debates. And I think this tactic of bringing thousands of people down one march, listening to the same boring speakers over and over again, say the same exact thing, you know, and then you walk away. I mean, I don't know. I think there's got to be something better. And I'm just throwing that out there.
But what could it be? That's the question I always
come
back to.
I want to say two things. I want to address that. But in just riffing off of what Chris is saying, and that is that I agree that that's really exciting, and also I think it's really vital because I think that the thing that a lot of these marches miss, and that may be because they're trying to play to a more mainstream audience and trying to get mainstream media appeal, but. See, I think that this war, it's symptomatic. This war is not it's a symptom of a late imperial capitalism, and and until that is addressed, until the power of capital is addressed, these kinds of wars are going to continue. Especially as the resources that the capitalists are using to fund to fuel their industries deplete, they're going to continue to be resource wars. That's going to be inevitable. Next decade, you know, maybe within 2 or 3 years, you know, if we're lucky, if the Answer Coalition, you know, really pulls off what they're trying to accomplish right here, we pull out of Iraq, we're out within a year or two. Within another 10 years, we're going to be in a war someplace else, and it's going to be over resources. And there will be some other pretext that's used to get us into that war. That's exactly what happened in Vietnam. That's exactly what was happening in the 70s in Central America. That's exactly what was happening in the 80s in Central America and moving all over into other areas of the country, other areas of the world, including places like areas in Africa. Yeah, this is just something that's going to continue until that central question of capitalism is addressed. And I don't think you get it, even come close to a chance of addressing it until you do that sort of hard, really difficult work of organizing door to door, neighborhood by neighborhood, and it can't be top down. That kind of top down organizing may be something that would work in something like pre-industrial Russia, but I don't think that that kind of model for organizing and for revolt is going to work now.
Just as a side note, I spent some time this week talking with several people from the Revolutionary Communist Party, and that was my major disagreement with them, too, because they felt that they were scientifically educating the idiot masses about what to do, and that's a failure. Yeah. You know, I disagree with it. I'm still going to have Joe Veal on to talk to him some more. But, top-down doesn't work. It's bottom-up. It's got to be grassroots cell organizations where people can see what the problems are. But when one addresses a specific goal, like, i.e., we shouldn't be in Iraq, we want the guys to come home, the people to come home from Iraq, I mean, obviously, the Bush administration isn't going to address that. They're not going to even listen to that. And so what is the value of the protest except to show a solidarity against it?
I would have to qualify that for myself. And that is that, for all my suckers is the legend. Put out my suckers for all the suckers. No. And that is that I don't think it's showing solidarity to anybody but those who are already sort of in that movement, who are already keyed into that. I don't think because it's not getting the kind of attention in the mass media to really show that kind of solidarity to the world at large or to, you know, the broader American public. But I don't think that that means that it's not important. I think it is important for people who are involved in the movement or are concerned about this to experience that kind of solidarity. I just like to see it there be a step that's beyond that, beyond like, okay, when the protest is over, when the march is over, what next? Well, we go home and turn on the game?
Well, and the worst thing is, like, you know, to rely on the Answer Coalition or any of these other sort of organizations to contact you to do something, I think really misses the point. It all comes back to empowerment. You know, what is going to empower people to actually go, okay, now I feel like I understand how this thing works? Because if I think a lot of people here obviously are on the same page in a lot of ways. We understand that if you want to make something happen, you go out and make it happen. And, you know, we're all sort of in a culture where, you know, we want to make something happen. We go get together with a couple of friends and go, let's go do that. Or at least have had that experience. People who don't have the, like, spent many years around doing this kind of work or whatever, you know, they go to, they feel like there's a major problem that they may not be able to articulate, but they want to go to this demonstration and they do that. And it's, you know, like, it's sort of like, it's sort of moving from an area where you actually have some resources to act upon. I think, and you know, what's his name? Stan Goff, I thought, did a really good job describing it. He called it 3D organizing. And I really like Stan Goff's writing. I think it's really good, although politically I disagree with some of his points. But I think he's right on. And I'm trying to remember what the 3Ds stand for, but right now I'll stop there. I know what they are.
Demonology, Death Rock, and... and Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, yes. That's 4Ds.
That was the other model. All right. I'll come back to it. It's a disruption. No, that was the last one. Disrupt was the last one.
Disorganization.
No, it wasn't disorganization. It was a... fuck. All right. Well, we'll worry about that later. What...
Deliberate, demote,
delegitimize, maybe was one of them. Disrupt, who knows? Okay,
deconstruct. The geek's dream.
Yeah, this is so bad. Okay, so where are we at? Where was this discussion going? Should we play some music?
You know, one thing I'd like to throw out there is, like, one suggestion for those of you who do go to those marches and you're standing next to people, you know, do at least try to take the opportunity to talk to them, strike up conversations, and maybe share if you do have ideas about, you do have those kinds of experiences, you know, be open to inviting other people to join in projects where you have that kind of experience, even if it's just something like an art collective or, you know, something that may not on its face look like a really revolutionary anti-war, even anti-capitalist kind of endeavor. But in its spirit, it's, you know, having that kind of anti-corporate DIY experience is not something that is broadly shared. And it's, I think maybe one step would be to start sharing that.
I'm sorry to be an artist intellectual, but does the protest have any value to the goal of stopping the war?
In a simple answer, I'd say yes.
Well, it did. I mean, I'm old enough.
In a simple answer, I'd say no. You're naive, dude.
See? I'm old enough to remember the Vietnam War, all right? And the protests, the complete and utter protest organization had an effect on the war. And eventually, it didn't end it. But it did cause a disruption of the government in dealing with it. And here, it doesn't seem to be having that effect.
Oh, right.
Because Bush and company are going, they're covering their ears and they're not listening.
They don't give a shit whatsoever.
Yeah. But you've got to also remember that that with Vietnam, it took a number of years before those protests really started having that kind of effect.
Yes, that's true.
You know,
true.
It took a long time to build up the momentum.
5 years or so.
Yeah, before they really... And I would say, yeah. And, I mean, the other thing is that, of course, I didn't really live during that time. And during the Vietnam War that I was alive, I was a baby, to being a small child. So I don't have the kind of direct memory that, you know, maybe you have. But,
I
you
was
know...
I was 22 in 1975.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah. Much, much more advanced than I was. At nine, but my recollection, and maybe this is just what the media tells me, but my recollection is that people seem to be a lot more pissed off and a lot more willing to kind of take it to the man, so to speak.
Back in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
There were weathermen and strong, violent revolutionaries on one end, and there were the peace nicks on the other, the people putting flowers in gun barrels, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just really saying, like, there's death. Not even, like, that's not even happening as much. And I guess pissed off is, like, I can see that somebody, maybe that's the wrong term, I guess more in using tactics like that, like direct action. You know, it's civil disobedience and direct action, which I just don't see. I mean, walking around in Hollywood, to me, I get it has a certain value. I'm not saying it's not totally useless and that people who do it are dumb.
2 years ago,
but I don't think that it's the same thing as putting flowers in a gun.
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, we had protests. I mean, we've had the biggest protests ever, larger than any Vietnam protest.
In Los Angeles.
In the world. In the world, all over the world, two years ago.
Oh, right, as a world.
Yeah. Of 2003, more people protested than ever did during the Vietnam War, you know. Yeah. There were larger and larger groups, though disrupting traffic on Wilshire in Beverly Hills, which is what one major protest here did, doesn't seem to help. Yeah. Doesn't seem to me to add up to anything.
I think it feels good. I don't know, I wasn't there on that particular one, but... But, I mean, well, San Francisco, they shut down the city. I mean, people shut down the city for 3 days, and it would send a message to the, you know, the people in power that they do not want to put up with this kind of war, outright murder and invasion, occupation,
yes,
et cetera. And it was a huge thing because, San Francisco is always the place where a lot of this stuff goes down, and I know just from hearing stories about it, but people all over the world were paying attention when San Francisco was getting shut down, and
yes,
you know, that sends a very good message in my opinion to a lot of people outside the U.S. that said, you know, there's people out there who really give a shit, you know, and they don't want to see this war happen, and I think
that really helped our brothers and sisters around the world to see that there was solidarity against this war, against this action. Mm-hmm. Because this action's much... What's happening in Iraq is actually more important than what happened in Vietnam.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's affecting a larger group of people throughout the world. Hey, look at what...
But not as important as what's happening to Terry Schiavo. Just keep that in mind.
God.
What if the Pope and Terry Schiavo died on the same day?
Before we move on, we should remind listeners that you're listening to Critical Mass Radio Network. This is Kill Radio in Los Angeles. We're part of an all-day broadcasting event, including San Diego's Radioactive Radio, Enemy Combatant Radio, who was on before us in San Francisco, Free Radio Santa Cruz, Freak Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz, and the August Sound Coalition from New York City. They were actually in Brooklyn tonight broadcasting. And Portland will be on at 10, and there was Free Radio Dallas out of Dallas. So,
Adam from Dallas has just written in,
and
he says, "While I agree with you, protests should accomplish something, but even if not, they are still very important. Protesting is one of the ways to show the disapproval, and protesting is a big way to do it. If we don't go out in the streets and show our disapproval, it will be taken for granted that they can fucking do whatever they want." But protests need to move past holding a sign and move to direct action. Ta-da. What you said.
So, I agree.
I agree as well.
People can call in to Kill Radio if you want to participate in this discussion at 213-252-0998, and we are up at Instant Messenger at Kill Radio Station.